Once I get a lectern, I don't like to give it up. I've already been warned twice to keep it short. I wanted to comment a little bit about the version of the Bible that I'm going to read today. It's not much different from what the scripture is. Back in the 70s, one of the young men who helped to establish the deaf work over at South 11th and Willis went in conjunction with a church in Fort Worth, and they wrote the English version for the deaf. It's the only translation from the Greek that the Churches of Christ has ever performed. It took about almost 10 years to come up with the Bible, and we were one of the churches that paid for the book of Obadiah to be translated. It's a third grade reading level. The deaf people do not have English as their first language. American Sign Language in America, or Kenyan Sign Language, or whatever they're from, that is their original language. So English is difficult. I use this as my personal study Bible because it is third grade reading level. During my tenure at ACU, I was asked with one of my former students to write a ninth grade textbook for public schools, an introduction to engineering, which is my field. The first draft that I sent to the publisher, he said, we're wanting a ninth grade reading level textbook for the state of Texas. He said, this first draft is 27th grade reading level. I like the third grade reading level much better. It went through a national survey when it was finished with some great Bible scholars. So I am reading from Matthew 12, 46 and 50. While Jesus was talking to the people, his mother and brother stood outside. They wanted to talk to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and brothers are waiting for you outside. They want to talk to you. And Jesus answered, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his followers and said, see these people? These are my mother. These are my brothers. Yes, anyone who does what my Father in heaven wants is my true brother and sister and mother.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for that scripture reading. Thank you, Brother Steve, for leading singing. Brother Joe, appreciate your communion thoughts. And Brother Jerry is working, he's working overtime. He's translating and coming up here and reading scripture. And now we got Brother Larry Prince up here, who they say, I don't know if it's a competition, but I hear he's good. Sister Jackie mentioned something to me last week, that one of the traditions that we have that we don't really do anymore is calling everybody brother and sister. Y'all are probably like, what's up with Brady? Why is he getting all old school? It's a tradition that has mostly faded, right? Every now and then you'll still hear it. And it's a nice one. I love those terms of endearment, talking to each other as if we are family, like we are closely connected here. And there's also some sense of having some sense of equality to calling each other brother and sister. I wonder why that one faded. I wonder why we don't really do that anymore. I'm not really saying we need to bring it back. Maybe it faded for good reason. A couple of things I thought about is maybe it started to feel kind of old-fashioned. You know, it felt like going back in time. It was originally intended maybe as a term of endearment, but maybe that evolved into something else. Especially if you only use that kind of language when you're in the building. If it's Brother Jerry here, but not out there, then it might be something, some kind of formality that we think, oh, you know, this, the idea was it to be really informal and feel like family, but if it ends up being this formal thing, then maybe we should drop it. I think it also may have felt weird. There's other groups that might use that terminology that we don't want to be associated with. You know, if you go to a place where everyone's calling them brother and sister, you might question if you want to drink the communion juice. You know, what kind of a group is this that I'm dealing with? And so maybe there are good reasons that we dropped it. But the text this morning is a great example of how Jesus envisioned the church to be like, not a second family, but to be the family. And to use family language. He envisions a place of belonging and safety and acceptance. So in the text this morning, Jesus at this point has quite a following. He's healed on the Sabbath. He's got in the crosshairs of the Pharisees. He's had some harsh attacks on his character. And he said he's going to give them the sign of Jonah. Which all sounds a little crazy. And so his family shows up saying, hey, Jesus, can we talk to you? And we know what's going on here. He's embarrassing them. He looks crazy. His family does not believe in him, and they're going to try to tell him to stop. He's like a crazy brother. Do any of y'all have crazy brothers? Anybody out there? Yeah, raise your hand. You can look at them if you want, if they're here. Look at them. You're a crazy brother. So, Emily, you have a brother, right? I want you to just imagine if John Paul, if you just hear through the grapevine that John Paul's been going around and telling people that he's the Messiah. That's probably worth a phone call, right? Hey, John Paul, what are you doing? You're not the Messiah, right? So that's kind of what's going on here. This is shocking to them. This is something that needs to be addressed. And so maybe it's that they totally don't believe in him. Or maybe it's just that he's not doing what the Messiah is supposed to do. They know he's special. They knew about the wise men. They knew about how he was born. But the things he's doing just don't look like the things he's supposed to be doing. So they're confused, just like everybody else is. And so they're trying to say, hey, stop, you're embarrassing us. You need to stop doing this. And so really, there's something I really feel when I look at Jesus and I look at his family problems, I feel like Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. And he knows what it's like to have family issues. A lot of us are staring down Thanksgiving with family. And I know that time can have some mixed emotions, right? Getting together on Thanksgiving can be hard for lots of reasons. Maybe there's grieving and someone's just missing there. Jesus might even get that. Here in this text, in a lot of these texts as an adult, Joseph never shows up. Chances are Joseph passed away. So Joseph knows what it's like to lose a parent, or Jesus knows what it's like to lose a parent early. But also, I don't want to say it's all bad with family. It can be a time of healing. It can be fun. A lot of great memories there. But here, I can see Jesus, like a lot of us in here, sometimes struggles with family. And maybe at Thanksgiving, you're struggling with family and you're staring down a hard time. Jesus had family that might have even cut him down. So if you've been cut down by family, if you've had those family struggles, Jesus understands. He gets that. And to me, that's kind of encouraging. So this verse might make some of you feel kind of seen, kind of understood by Jesus. Because, hey, Jesus has had family issues too. And as a church, we want that. We want you to come here and we want you to feel seen. We want you to feel known. We want you to feel understood. Not just a face in the crowd, not just a number, but someone who's known. And for early Christian readers of this gospel, it probably made them feel seen and understood as well, because early Christians were struggling with family issues, especially around the holidays. Some of them might have been wrestling with their own rejection of family for choosing Jesus. For how could you worship a crucified peasant? That's wild. Or for kind of turning from what they view as the correct Jewish faith. How could you reject your family traditions? So Jesus is making them feel seen. Jesus knows what they're going through. And so look what he says to his disciples, and really to all future Christians struggling with family issues. He says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus redefines what family is. You have a place here. You belong here. You are accepted here. And Paul really does something similar. He uses this family language as well because he was dealing with people who might have lost their biological family, who might have been rejected by their biological family. And so he says, you still have a spiritual home. You still have a spiritual family. And that spiritual family will also care for your physical needs. So the church from the beginning wasn't supposed to be an event that you come to or a location that you meet at. It's a close-knit family community where people felt loved and supported, known, cared for, a value that I believe is still maintained here at Westgate. It looks like a value that was brought over from Willis as well. In class on Wednesday night, we are sharing things we were grateful for. And some of our new members that came over from Willis said some really sweet things. You can tell, they showed their gratitude publicly and in the little group that I was with. You can tell that they know each other intimately, that they've been through hard times together, some grief, some loss, but also some really sweet moments. They've really shaped each other. And you can see there's a deep, meaningful connection there, that they value family as well. And I think that's going to fit so nicely here together. How do y'all like wearing the name tags? There's something inherent in wearing the name tag that I think is important. It says this is a place where we should know your name. We should know each other's names. This isn't just a big, like, 1,000-member mega church where you can kind of smile at someone but know nothing about them. No, this is a place where you should be known. You are important enough for us to know and remember your name. I think that's healthy. I think that's important. One of our deacons here grew up going to, like, a big mega church. And he said, like, when he was, like, 19, I can't remember how old he was, someone came and introduced themselves thinking it was his first time there. And so that's why he ended up at a small church like Westgate. It's like, I want to be at a place where we're known. I want to just be a face in the crowd. I have a cousin who grew up here in Abilene. And she grew up going to a great church. It was a really big church in town, a great church. I don't want to ever imply anything bad about any of these churches. But she was in the youth ministry program for years. And the same thing happened to her. Someone came up to her and introduced themselves to her as if she's never been there, even though she's been there all her life. And then she decided, you know, I really need to find some community somewhere. And she goes to another church with a friend and becomes plugged into that community. And it's a, you know, it's a little smaller community, but it's so formative for a really important time in her life, so spiritually formative for her. And she connects so well there. You know what church it was? 11th and Willis Church of Christ. Some of the same values, some of the same, it's really beautiful. So we fit so nicely together. And we kind of live in a world where it's pretty easy to kind of slip in and out of church, right? Sometimes that's a value we want. We want to go somewhere where no one's gonna pay any attention to us. No one's going to ask us to do anything. No one's going to hold us accountable. We can just go hear a nice message, be part of nice worship, and then slip in and out. And that's, I totally understand why you'd want to do that. I've been that kind of church member before. But when you come, if you're in Abilene, and you come to a smaller church like this, that's probably not as much what you value. You probably value some community, some connection. Another interesting thing I've heard said about Westgate is you'll hear phrases like, we don't want to just do what all the other churches are doing. We don't have to be like this mega church feel. We don't want to do that. And I would say generally not a lot of people have this, not everyone, But one of the values I see here is that we seem to value inclusion over professionalism. It's not all professionals up here on stage. It's not all, we don't let only trained, hired staff be on, teach classes. Because we believe we want everybody involved. We value people giving people opportunities to share what they've learned, to share what's on their heart. We think like everyone's got something to offer, whether they've had all this training or not. What happens up here doesn't have to be perfectly polished, because we want people to tap into what God is doing. We want people to be involved. We want young people to be able to experiment with what their gifts are. And so sometimes mistakes are made up here, even by me. Like, I'm not great. I make a lot. But it's refreshing. And a lot of people have said that. It's okay to make a mistake in here. It's okay to not be perfect in here. I think that's healthy. And so we value people being involved more than having this pristine worship product. Because, I mean, honestly, if you want a pristine worship product, welcome to Abilene. You got a lot of choices. There's a lot of places. And that's not to say that we don't value what's up here, what we do in here. What we do here is really important, and we want it to be very meaningful. But having everybody involved, that's so important to us. So another thing I think about when I think of a family church is a place that is a refuge. And I almost said a safe place. I want church to be a safe place, but that's starting to have some negative connotations for me. Our world is getting so obsessed with safety that we're building walls, we're losing connections, sometimes safety, we're not taking risks anymore. So I don't like the word safety, but I think a refuge, maybe that's a nice way of thinking about it. It's a place that's an escape from life. It's a place to be recharged, a place to be built up, a place that we can let loose and be ourselves, a place where you can show who you really are with all your flaws and all, and still know that you're loved. That's the kind of safety we want. And I know for many, church hasn't felt like that place. For some, church has felt like a place you got to come and put up a front. Church is a place where you're going to be criticized. And maybe that's happened at Westgate. But that's generally hasn't been my experience. In fact, something that's really encouraging to me, and I've heard this from multiple people, there's people who've come to Westgate who've been hurt by church, damaged by it, scared of it, but then they come here and we've changed their view of church. They've come here and they've been healed from some of those wounds that they experienced in church when they were younger. That's something to really be proud of. That's something really cool. And maybe someone's come here and that hasn't been your experience, and I'm sorry, because we can still be grumpy. There's grumpy, like everywhere, there's grumpy people, and maybe people who've had a bad day who might say something harsh. But generally speaking, I think we're pretty good about being accepting and welcoming, and I hope a healing place. If you've been hurt by church in the past, I hope this is a place where you can come and heal. It's a refuge and a safe place when it feels like a family place. Because here's the deal, for some people, going to church might be about being like a mover and shaker in town. Going to church might be kind of a popularity contest, right? You want to go to a church where you'll be known, get some new followers, get some likes, maybe make some business connections at church, do a little bit of networking, get some new clients, be able to call in some favors later. If you want to come to church to go up the social and popularity ladder in town, to make more business connections, make your name more known in town, it probably isn't the church for you. This isn't where all the cool and rich people go. I mean, we are pretty cool. But I'm glad it's not. Because if all that's in the mix, if church gathering is becoming something else, if it's a popularity contest, it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel genuine. You don't know if you really belong. If this person really cares about me. You have to wonder, do they care about me, or do they want to use me for something? Am I just a means to an end? Do they just want my support on something? That doesn't feel safe. I just feel like someone's trying to sell me something at church. And it doesn't follow the way of Jesus' downward mobility either. So when we come here, it's to worship. It's to fellowship. It's not about those other things. A sense I've got from multiple youth group students is something similar happens there as well. Our youth group represents all kinds of different schools, all different districts. We got Cooper kids, Abilene High, Clyde, Merkel, Jim Ned. I'm making Larry's job hard. ACS, that's an easy one. So when they come here, it doesn't feel just like school. It feels different when they come here. We got some cool kids in our youth group here, but it's not where all the cool kids from Abilene High go. There's some churches that kind of have that. All the kids from this school go to this church. And that's not really what happens here. But the thing is, sometimes the churches where all the kids go from school, it becomes more of the social event. Where, again, maybe people are trying to move up the social ladder and be with a certain right people in the right crowd. And it's really not about the family of God anymore or drawing near to him. It's about something else. And I don't want to come up here and say, like, that's all bad. I think the churches that have that, that have established that, good for them. That's a good thing. I don't think they're doing anything wrong. I think that's a great way to bring in kids. There's probably a lot of unchurched kids that go to the cool church on Wednesday night. I think that's a good thing. Don't hear me bashing it. But I see a value that Westgate has in Westgate kids where it's they want to come somewhere where it doesn't feel like another school event. They want to come somewhere where it's safe from that, where they can be with the family of God and not just all the other kids from school and not all the other happenings at school. I know a lot of churches want to have this ACU tie as well. And we have that a little bit. We're not like one of those churches that's like, ACU is evil. I really valued the education I had at ACU. But you don't see a doctor and professor so-and-so on every turn. We have some. But if you want to use the church as like this place to network and move up amongst ACU people and have your name known and be a popular ACU person to help your career at ACU, it's probably in the place. Well, that's good. I'm glad that we are a refuge from some of that stuff. This is just about church. This is just about being with the family of God. I think that's a good thing. And it's kind of funny. I think we have a nice feel here. Sometimes it's almost weird to hear Eric be called Dr. Gum. Maybe to a few of you, he's Dr. Gum. But you know what I've heard him be called more here than Dr. Gum? Dad Gum. Here he's just Dad Gum. And so maybe this isn't a place for like these movers and shakers in town. And maybe not being the cool place in some ways has not really inflated our numbers. But I think it's helped us maintain a holy integrity about what the family of God is really about. We're kind of setting aside some of those things that sometimes we can make church about, but not here. We don't want to hear it's about being family, and it's about togetherness, and it's about Christ. We come here to elevate God, not self. We are a church that wants to be a family. We want this to be a place of accountability, but not of harsh judgment. A place of hospitality and belonging. Because we believe we have a God who welcomes us into a family of belonging. If you are here this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to be part of this family, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.